The podcast network is supported by Neo.org, a social network with a purpose to transform the world by enabling people to transform themselves, and Tony Kynaston, our first TPN patron. Become a TPN patron or a member of the TPN 500 by visiting tpn.thepodcastnetwork.com.
There's a way, such a better way, today, today. Raise your voice, tell the world there's a better way. Today there's a better way. Ooh, there's a way, such a better way. Today, today. Now raise your voice, tell the world there's a better way. Today there's a better way.
Okay. This is Rod Adams, and it's time for Atomic Show number 161. And with me today, I have Gwyneth Cravens, the author of Power to Save the World, and I have Ray the Squirrel, who is a filmmaker who has worked for the last year or so on a very interesting project to document what happened at Shoreham. Welcome, Gwyneth and Ray.
Thank you, Rod.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
About a year ago, Ray and his friend James contacted me because they were interested in talking to someone who knew a little bit about what happened at Shoreham. I'd written a few articles about that. And they grew up in the Long Island area and had heard many stories about what happened at the plant, the protests that happened, and it probably ended up driving past the gates of the shuttered facility. And being interested young people, they decided to go ahead and pull the string and tell the story. So, Ray, tell us a little bit about what you and James found out, what you did to put together this video.
Since graduating college in 2007, I wanted to do some kind of video or documentary project, something to just get me and get my foot into the door of a career in filmmaking. Not easy to do. One day I just happened to recall that he was a journalist, and so I thought of getting his assistance in this project that I wanted to make about the Shoreham nuclear power plant. He was out of work at the time. He had a lot of available time to work on something. So that's pretty much how it started. We started out early in 2009, I would say, January, February, started doing a lot of research on the Shoreham plant, and I originally thought that this was just going to be a 10-minute video on YouTube, but then James just kept getting interview after interview, and now I'm struggling to keep this under 100 minutes.
So who have you talked to about this this project? What kind of research did you end up doing? Did you find some things that surprised you about the story?
Yeah, we started out at the local public library. The first thing that we came across, which was the testimony of the Wilco CEO, William J. Catacasinos, the testimony that he made in front of the Senate. I posted a little video clip from that. It seems like he was one of the few people who were looking ahead on the issue in terms of energy policy and fossil fuel usage. So that just came to me as a shock that the CEO who got the New York State taxpayers to bail out his multi-billion-dollar boondoggle is one of the more sympathetic characters in this narrative.
So what is the situation there on Long Island today partially as a result of the Shoreham facility not being allowed to operate? What kind of power rates do people pay, and what is actually providing the electricity?
Oil. Pretty much. I'm not sure about the energy and utility rates on Long Island. Yesterday I was speaking with a coworker of mine, manager. He's much older than I am, and yet he still lives with his parents and helps. One of the major parts of the income, one of the major expenses that he has to deal with is heating fuel during the winter, and all they have are oil and wood chips.
So, Gwyneth, how did you get involved in this video?
Well, I got emails from Ray and James inviting me to have an interview with them, and they were aware that they had read my book, so they knew that I had opposed Shoreham back when it was the popular thing to do.
You're such a follower.
Yes. well, I was already I had my organic garden on Long Island, and I was for organic food and against nuclear power, and I'm still for organic food, incidentally, and I'm now for nuclear power. I changed my mind, and my book is the story of that, talking to many different scientists and seeing for myself how the nuclear world works, how reactors work, what a nuclear plant is like, and I have mixed feelings about Shoreham today because it was a boondoggle. It was extremely badly run. There were serious union problems with the night crew undoing all the pipe fitting that the day crew had done. And I met an engineer who worked at Shoreham, and she confirmed that. And she said that they actually had to start building metal cages around the completed pipe fitting so that the other crew would, when they came on, wouldn't destroy the completed pipe fitting. So the cost of building the thing went up and up and up, and you know, to this day, gives nuclear power a bad name as being too expensive.
Well, you know,
and I'll just add one other thing: Long Island has one of the highest electricity rates in the country. And customers of Long Island Power Authority, which is taken over from Shoreham, the Long Island Lighting Company used to run the electricity business on Long Island, but now it's a state-appointed authority, and it's still very expensive. And as Ray pointed out, our house is heated by oil. It's oil. Most of it. I don't know anyone actually in where I live on Long Island that doesn't have an oil furnace. So that's how we get our heat. And I have been told that 60% of our electricity comes from burning diesel and diesel generators in the towns on Long Island. So this, I have personal reasons to want more nuclear power on Long Island, and I regret that a decent nuclear plant was not built and is not operating here on Long Island. There's a little bit that comes from Millstone in Connecticut that's on a cable that goes under Long Island Sound, but it's mostly fossil fuels.
Now, you know, one thing I do need to tell you, Gwen, is speaking as a nuclear technologist and a lover of the technology, just because nuclear is really good doesn't mean you have to like all nuclear projects, because some of them were poorly run. There were folks who probably should never have gotten into the business who were involved. Fortunately, over the years, I think a lot of that issue has shaken out. The people that were not particularly good at it haven't stayed around. Those who remain are apparently, by all operating records, very good at their jobs, but there is still the cost issue. So, Ray, you guys also got, besides interviewing Gwyneth and I, there were a few other people that you did some detailed interviews with. Who were they?
We managed to get a lot of interviews for this project, though. In terms of the narrative of the movie, we only decided to focus really on five or six individuals that were Carl Grossman, a local reporter and anti-nuclear activist, Marge Harrison, a citizens activist and helped organize protests around Shoreham, you, Gwyneth Cravens, and one interview that I was very surprised that we got was longtime anti-nuclear activist, self-described key architect of the anti-nuclear movement in America, Harvey Wasserman.
Yeah, I've been privileged to see some of your outtakes. I think that how you weave Harvey's interview into the video will be a key part of the narrative. He had a very strong feelings about what happened at Shoreham, and a little bit of a gloating attitude about the fact that the project didn't go forward.
Yes, he did.
Ray, speaking as a kind of a new video, I mean, new filmmaker, you've got this film, have you got a kind of a narrative lined up, a script lined up, and you've got this all being put together? How is this video coming together for you?
Oh, it's coming along quite fine. I've got what you can call a rough cut finished, but I want to make several more scenes just to opening credit sequence, a closing credit sequence, and reshoot a couple more scenes just to make them just look a little bit more professional and not so much like a student film project.
By the way, is that what you studied in college, is filmmaking?
Yes, I'm still trying to figure out whether that was a very good decision, but yeah, I did start out with that as my major and ended with a bachelor's degree in film studies.
So what kind of obstacles are you running into? I've it's interesting. A lot of folks kind of think video or filmmaking is somewhat of an easy task, but once you started to put together some even just home movies, or when you start to do something a little more on the professional side, you start to realize just how much effort goes into even a good 5-10 minute polished sequence. And when you're talking about doing something closer to 100 minutes, that's got to be an awful lot of work.
Much of the filming is already done. It's just a matter of finishing these last few scenes, putting it together in the editing room, finding the money and the time to shoot these scenes. And also, what was a major issue for me of finishing this movie was getting the rights and clearances to a lot of the stock footage, video images, and whatnot that is going in the film, just to make it a little more fluid and watchful for the audience. And something that happened this past summer, which was a big relief on my part, the United States Copyright Office recently declared this past summer that extracting video from a DVD and repurposing it in a documentary film, or video, is now considered fair use under the law. For the longest time since I started this video, using all this stock footage that I found, I purchased from a video company, just purchasing the rights was just a big cloud over my head. But now with that ruling, I no longer have to worry about that.
That's great. I'm sure that there's some sort of time limits and stuff, but when you're talking about a documentary, you're probably just flashing or a few seconds at a time of maybe scenes from Three Mile Island or some folks protesting at the gates of Shoreham or something like that.
Not too much footage of the Shoreham protests or hearings and whatnot. Not, that's actually a little joke in the beginning of the movie that we weren't able to find in that kind of material on Shoreham, even though Shoreham is main topic of the movie, but we've managed to work around that in it. And so the movie really mainly focuses on Shoreham as people's reactions and recollections to the Shoreham controversy and how that kind of ties into the debate on energy policy and nuclear power as it is today.
You know, even with all of the difficulties that Gwyneth described in building Shoreham, the end result was that the plant did get completed, right?
Did get completed, and it was shut down without ever operating. What I took away from researching the subject of Shoreham is it just seems as if nobody involved in even the most casual way has not walked away from controversy tainted in some way. William J. Catacasino, the CEO, chose to look after the interests of his stockholders instead of the interests of Long Island, and Mario Cuomo, the mayor of New York at the time, was the one who worked out the deal with Loco. The protesters against the plant were probably very much reacting upon fear and misinformation, Wilco probably shouldn't have been involved in the construction of that plant.
Of course, also looking back, I mean, I understand that it's not necessarily fair to today's taxpayers to be paying for the sins of the past, but from the point of view of the company, although they'd had some mistakes, they had completed the plant, and it was only the state that said they couldn't start it up. So,
yeah.
I mean, that's why, you know, I guess people decided that it was time for the state to step in and make people whole and make sure the electricity kept flowing.
Yeah.
So you've talked to me a little bit about a rather interesting internet-based program, kind of a challenge fundraising program that sounds very intriguing. Can you describe that a little bit and let people know what it is you're doing to try to get the resources you need to finish this film and get it released for people to view?
I recently found out about this website. Kickstarter.com is a website that allows people to raise funds, raise capital for miscellaneous creative projects such as film, video, photography, music. Right now, recently, my proposal to Kickstarter was accepted, and I hope to raise $5,000 within a month or two.
So how will people be able to help you out? Tell us a little bit more about those details, if you can.
Individuals can just go to Kickstarter.com, search Shoreham, and they'll be able to donate to the movie's production.
Ray, can you do a mass emailing, I mean, to people like Rod and me, and that we could forward on to others that would have as a link to your particular page or your particular, you know, where to do the donation?
Yes, I can.
I want to say something, I don't mind if listeners hear this. I mean, and Rod, I know you would probably say the same thing. James and Ray did such a thorough interview with me. I've been interviewed a lot of times, but I was extremely impressed with how well prepared they were. And I would have to say, based on the questions that were posed to me, they remembered the book better than I did. I mean, they were really on top of details and asked them very clearly and had certain questions in mind. They went after those questions. They wanted answers. It was done very well and very professionally. I was quite impressed.
And I agree.
Have to put that plug in because, as I say, I can compare it to other interviews. And
yeah,
Ray,
you
and James were really on top of the whole thing.
I just simply let him do what he knows how to do.
And you were doing what you know how to do, and it was a really good team. And I thought you guys did a great job.
Thank you.
Yeah, I had the same experience. After James did the interview, I had captured the audio of that interview and used it as an Atomic show, and I got a lot of really good comments from the folks who had the opportunity to listen to that just segment of the interview, and very good experience. And it, one of the reasons that I'm excited about this project is I've had the opportunity to see some of the outtakes that you have, some of the clips, some of the things that are going into it. I am intrigued to see what the final product's going to look like, because it is a story with a lot of villains. And a lot of folks who, and I'm not sure there certainly is not going to be a happy ending, since the plan is still not running and still costing people a lot of money. But it was a part of nuclear history that really needs to be understood, exactly what happened and why. So I'm excited about the prospects of you almost getting completed with this.
Yeah. So I have to comment on the way you said that this is a story with a lot of villains. One approach I tried to take with this documentary was James and I just really tried to get the really just tried to get the information, get the interviews, and the narrative would form itself, afterward. If you actually, if you watch the completed movie or what is so far the rough cut of the completed movie, there is really kind of, there are really three stories going on. One is the death, one is the interviews covering the story. One is the interviews that we did that look back on the story of the Shoreham Nuclear Power Facility and what happened around that controversy. The second one is, which we actually restaged of the second narrative, which is that we, that James and I actually restaged or reenacted of our process of making the film, which with a friend of mine actually playing myself in all these roles. There, in the film, you'll be able to easily differentiate between the two narratives. And the third narrative, which I thought I would mention, that I believe is worth mentioning, is made completely out of sound footage of sound audio and video of Greenpeace co-founder Patrick Moore. It was actually an interview that I heard with him in 2006, an interview conducted by Penn Jillette of Penn & Teller that actually got me to challenge my preconceived notions of environmentalism and nuclear power and really got me interested in the subject and start researching the subject, helped me discover that my preconceived notions about nuclear power were actually misguided and based on false information. While producing this documentary film, I found a lot of footage featuring Dr. Patrick Moore in situations such as debates and interviews and presentations that actually wonderfully coincided with our production of the film. The way we approached it was that we really tried to give everybody their, every person we interviewed, give them their time and really give the viewer what motivates their opinion on the subject, even though the final product is not entirely soft on the villains, as you might say. It kind of takes a sympathetic view towards every person we interview.
Well, you know, I really didn't mean to say there was villains in your film. There are what I consider to be villains in the story. But as you say, everybody involved in this event is a human being who has real concerns and real worries. Although there are some folks behind the scenes, I think that probably nobody would agree with their concerns except their stockholders. You know, people that are still there's people that are still making a lot of money because Shoreham's not operating.
But, you've covered
people delivering oil to our all the oil companies on Long Island are making money.
I know.
I also think
exactly
that there's some waste to energy plants there in Long Island. As I recall, part of the story that I found was that there was a politician who whose brother was the guy that was doing the waste to energy plants. But I don't remember that all the details, so I won't necessarily say. Anyway.
Something that, let me just jump in here to say that, Ray, your description of the structure of the movie impresses me. I think it's great that you have these two characters, James and Ray, who are discussing the film that they're making. And then you have you have these three strands that you're weaving together. I'm a novelist originally, and I appreciate that kind of creative approach. I think it's going to be very cool to see how that all turns out.
Yeah, one of my original inspirations for the narrative structure of this film was Citizen Kane, because just thinking of that plant, sitting behind a chain link fence that said no trespassing, all you can think of is Citizen Kane and that kind narrative structure that involves a journalist, a group of journalists trying to figure out the secret behind this one personality. And in each interview, they get a different point of view on the story, but in the end, they never really come away with anything besides what they already knew. One of the themes of this movie is how journalism, filmmaking, media in general affects the public's view on certain controversial topics and affects democracy in general.
Well, you're not going to get any arguments from a novelist and now a nonfiction writer and a guy who does a blog and a podcast that media is important, the way we communicate with people and the way we share our stories help to shade the public opinion and discuss it, and it can be world-changing. It can make people change their minds. And there is a reason why the little constitution that I have sitting next to me has this thing called the First Amendment that talks about free speech and freedom of the press. So, you know, I think it's going to be a great thing to have this available. When you get your links, send them to me. Look forward to keeping up with you and seeing how it all comes together. And I really look forward to the time when I can help you start promoting the fact that you've got this completed DVD ready to sell or share with folks.
Well, the one point I think we should probably mention is the distribution method. As I said previously about the issues of rights management and whatnot, it looks like the only way we would be able to distribute this film is as long as it's a documentary film, a non-profit endeavor. So this film will most likely be streamed online for free, if anything.
Well, free is always a good thing for most of my listeners too. They really like that free thing.
If I were to sum up the point that I was getting round with the whole narrative thing and journalistic aspect of it, as I mentioned with the three narrative strands, there's the one narrative strand about Shoreham, which serves as sort of a microcosm for the present day debate about surrounding nuclear energy and energy policy and whatnot. The third narrative strand, the second narrative strand, which follows Dr. Patrick Moore and his various debates and interviews, presentations, helping to promote nuclear power, is reflective of the modern day debate around nuclear power and energy policy in general. And the third narrative strand, which I mentioned, which is of reenactment of James and I and what we went through on this project, is sort of a reflection of the responsibility of media and journalism and how that connects to the responsibilities of media and journalism and whatnot, because there were many occasions during this project where James and I just went head to head with our different ethical views on the situation, how information like this should be presented. And it's no accident that the two antagonists, I shouldn't really give a number. There are many major antagonists in this film, but the primary antagonist is because journalists and a certain media outlet, which I hey, and a certain media outlet, I believe you've mentioned them on the show before.
Okay.
Hello, Rob.
Yep, okay. Still here.
Yeah. I had to sum up the film in a short manner like that. That would be the best way. I'm sorry for my stuttering and communication skills. There's a reason why I'm behind the camera most of the time and have a friend of mine who looks absolutely nothing like me play myself.
Well, I hope you picked a really strong and Cary Grant type character to play yourself. That's the way I always see myself in the movies. But
no, I actually got somebody who is shorter, and I actually got someone who is shorter and thinner than I am.
And all right,
just a friend I knew from high school. And if I should mention another way that, and if I should mention, thanks to you, I was able to. For promoting Pop Atomic Studios, I was able to get into contact with Susan Hobbs, who works over there, and they were able to help me out with designing some promotional artwork for the movie. That's how, that was another way that we've thought of raising funds. That's another way we have thought of raising funds for this movie, making promotional artwork for a movie poster or cover for a motion picture soundtrack album that a friend of mine is working on right now. And so we should have, I'm just ironing out some of the contractual, agreements between me and Pop Atomic Studios, and we should be able to have some merchandise out soon, along with the Kickstarter project.
Very good.
Okay.
Ray, I think you guys are doing it. I'm just really thrilled to hear all this news. This is all good. And
yes.
I think if Rod and I can help get the word out about, you know, just kicking in a few bucks, if everyone we know kicks in a few bucks,
yeah,
you're going to be able to, you know, continue this project, and I'm very enthusiastic about the way you're thinking about it and the way you're handling it and your whole description of the inspiration from Orson Welles and all of that. I can't wait to see it.
And also a little bit of Rashomon in there as well.
Oh, yeah. Talking about nuclear is Rashomon. Got it.
Yeah, and also on that issue, if I may put in the final point about the Kickstarter thing, about the Kickstarter project, is that it allows for creators to give rewards for donors who donate certain amounts of money.
Gwyneth, thank you very much for coming on tonight.
My pleasure.
Thank you.
I'm excited.
Thank you
about
very
this
much. Thank you
Ray,
very much, Rob.
Yeah, no problem. You have
I apologize if I have been rambling on too much or stuttering too much.
Yeah, don't worry about it. We all have our crosses to bear. And, the key is the passion. It's really coming through that you care about filmmaking, you care about telling a story, and you found a story that at least my listeners are going to be interested in seeing and reviewing and maybe even contributing to. So. Take care.
I think a lot of people on Long Island will be interested, too.
Yes. Thank you, Ron. And
Gwyneth, good night.
Good night. Thank you, Ron. Both of you. Take care. Bye-bye.
Good night.
I hope the sound quality wasn't too bad for you. If you are interested in supporting Ray's effort on Shoreham, you can go to the Atomic Show blog and get the links to his Kickstarter page, where he is describing his project. He's going to keep you up to date on his fundraising efforts and his completion efforts. It's an interesting project. I think it's worthy of support, particularly since it tells a story that is very important for all folks who are interested in a nuclear revival to understand why did Shoreham fail, what can be done to avoid that from happening again. Take care and goodbye.
There's a way, such a better way. Today, today. Raise your voice, tell the world there's a better way. Today, there's a better way. Ooh, there's a way, such a better way. Today, today. Now raise your voice, tell the world there's a better way. The way is the Adam's way.
You're listening to the Podcast Network. Listen, learn, evolve.